This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's Post Game Podcast.
And welcome inside the Post Game Podcast as Willie and Gio have left the building. Al is off today, and so I sit with the Eddie Scazzeri. What's up, Eddie?
Hello, podcast people and YouTube person.
Well, it's more than one person on YouTube.
Yes.
Not many, but it is more. So I had a couple things for you today. One was a little bit of a walk down memory lane, only because when I was away, so we flew to West Lafayette, Indiana on Monday for Tuesday night's game at Purdue. Really cool. Purdue's got their own airport, which is just so awesome.
Yeah, I saw that. After you said that, I looked it up on Google Maps. It's right there.
Yeah, literally. It's amazing to me how a game can end. I can do a post-game show, and let's say 9:30, I'm done with the post-game show. I'm on the bus at 9:33, and I'm literally sitting in my seat on the plane at 9:50. I mean, it's just, it's nuts. So, which is why I'm able to come in and work the next morning. So very cool. But someone out there was, as I was walking the rotunda, someone stopped me. Hey, I'm from New York. I watch you guys on TV every morning. Very nice. And then Imus came up.
Mm-hmm.
But more specifically, he brought up, he hadn't been back in New York, this person, in 15 years, but tries to keep up as much as he can. And he brought up Bernard McGurk, who unfortunately passed away, I think less than a year ago or about a year ago now. Mm-hmm. And it had me thinking back to as I was, you know, on the plane that night, because it was not a good night for Rutgers. And so I started thinking about other stuff and thinking back to like the old days back in Astoria and how it's so incredibly how fragile life is. Because if you would have pointed out numerous people there and you would have said, who's going to live to be 100 and who's going to die young? Bernie might have been the last person that I would have ever chosen to die much younger than he should have. And maybe Eric Spitz too, because in such good shape. But it's amazing to me thinking like how that time has come and gone and like all the good times we had there.
Yeah.
And it's just a memory now.
Yeah, it is. And a fading one at that.
Sadly, we've been here so how long now?
Since 2009.
Since 2009. So you were in the old building since 80.
Years.
So 20 years for you. And I was there for, which felt a lot longer. I was there for 12, but it felt much longer than that. What would be, if I asked you for like top three moments, and I don't mean games or anything like that. I mean, top three moments while you were in that building, what would they be? Good or bad?
Okay. Well, number one was 9/11. Being there in the newsroom when that all happened.
Crazy.
Was just bizarre.
Yeah. And not knowing really what was happening.
No, no. And that whole day, that whole week, month, whatever, you know, it was just, but that's where it started. And I remember where I was, just sitting in the newsroom waiting to do Russ and Steve, which did not take air that day.
IMA stayed on for an extra hour or two, correct?
Even maybe even longer. And then we might have gone to some news programming, and then Mike came on. I don't think Dog made it in, I want to say.
I know Minko drove all the way around. He went out to the Tappan Zee Bridge to get in.
Yeah, and that's how I had to get home. I had to go up to the tap and then down.
Sure. Sure.
That was a long, freaky day, but just being there when that happened.
So you're sitting there. I imagine you were at a computer, and we really didn't have the internet yet then, did we, at that point?
We did.
Did we?
Yes.
But the AP must have been going crazy.
Yeah, well, it was I don't know. We might have turned off those printers by that time.
Okay.
Because it was 2001, so the internet was like 5 years in.
Yeah.
At that. We still didn't have our own company email.
Right, true.
But it was there, and I just remember looking up at the television screens and seeing the first, you know, the aftermath of the first plane impact and what the hell was going on.
Yeah, scary.
And when then the second one came in, then you said, oh, this is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a very vivid memory. And then another one is the day after we signed off from here for the last time. So this was...
What do you mean from here?
Not from here.
From Astoria?
From Astoria.
Okay.
Back, so that was August... October 9th of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, on the 10th, I had to go back to Astoria to get something.
Really?
I don't remember what it was. And I remember... You know, we had only signed off, you know, it was Sunday. It was the Sunday. So we started here because I was here on the 10th to be the first board up.
Okay.
Because Chernoff wanted to be an experienced person, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So I was here on the 10th and then I was here for Mike's show on the Sunday
because
I was doing Mike's show at the time still on the Sunday show. And I had to go back to Astoria to get something either before or after I did that show with him. And walking in there, it was so eerie.
Depressing, no?
And already, even though it had only been less than 48 hours, it looked as if I had stumbled upon some ghost ship, some derelict ship that I found out at sea and walked in there and just saw.
Yeah.
It was very
eerie. Tumbleweeds.
Yeah. That was an eerie experience. So those are two sort of negative things.
Well, it's interesting because I think when you start to think about times like that, most things that do come up are negative. Mm-hmm. Like I don't think about the times of the Yankees winning the World Series or whatever it might be, or even the Knicks in the NBA Finals in 99 like they were. Things that immediately hit my mind are... I remember coming in the day after Imus was officially fired, and I remember the panic that everybody was going through because, quite frankly, we didn't know if we were going to have a job 6 months from then. Mm-hmm. I remember the day, and it's weird how it happened because I was working overnights the day Chris Russo did essentially quit, and I was out at Hofstra with the Jets, and because it was so far and I was working overnights, I just... went to the radio station. There was nowhere else for me to go. I was going to go to the station, go out to eat, and maybe catch a nap. And there was so much crap going on. And it was weird when I pulled up and saw Mark's car there at 7:30. And then you come in and find out there's something going on with Russo. Then all of that happened. That was a strange one. I don't know. None of the memories are good. They are, but they're not. Like, the ones that come to mind aren't good.
Right, the day-to-day, you have the day-to-day feeling and how great it was, how special it was, but nothing that really super stands out as a positive.
No.
But just the whole camaraderie in general and the day-to-day experience of just being there.
And it was different there.
Oh, 100%.
Much different there.
We lost a bit of our soul when we came here.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, hard to argue that.
Special character. that we had.
Do you ever look back and think, like, being part of, not that you worked on the Imus show, I know you filled in a little bit, mm-hmm. and you were certainly made to be a character on that show, mm-hmm. For lack of a better term, and they referenced you a lot. You ever think back, like, when I think of radio, you think of Stern, I think, first now, right or wrong. Mm-hmm. I think you think of Howard Stern first. Imus is right there second. You know, Rush Limbaugh, maybe. Like, those are, like, the titans of mm-hmm. radio from, let's say, 1960 to now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mike and the Mad Dog are certainly there now.
Sure.
And if you want to get into politics, there's other people. But, and, like, you were a part of that.
Yeah.
Like, you ever, like, I don't know, not pinch yourself, but be like, wow, like, I... All right, maybe I didn't become rich, famous, and wealthy, but
right.
damn, I was kind of a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. And for Imus, it was certainly in his, you know, the second part of his career. He had certainly a renaissance
sure.
when he came to FAN. So I was there for the bulk of that. I missed the first year of that, mm-hmm. I guess, before my internship started. But then my first day as an intern was Mike and the Mad Dog's first day. It was day after Labor Day.
No kidding. I never knew that.
September 5th of 1989 is when they started.
Wow.
And that's, you know, so that was, I was there for that and saw that whole thing grow. So, yeah, it is pretty cool.
And then wound up working on the show.
Mm-hmm. So I've worked with, you know, two of the titans. And certainly you could also say, maybe not top 10, but Steve Summers certainly is a legend.
Yep. Definitely.
You know, maybe top 10 in the sports radio category, perhaps. You never, but certainly a legend in his own right. And just speaking of the day that Imus got fired, that, of course, is another distinct mm-hmm. memory. And I was there late, and it was just, that was so depressing.
That was a crazy day.
Yeah, that was awful. But a positive memory that I have of that place was when I came in for my internship interview, and I didn't get it. This was for the summer of 89.
Mm, oh, I didn't know that.
And rode the elevator down with Howie Rose.
How about that?
And I was, of course, starstruck. And
hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Yeah, and so that is a memory. You know, that elevator, you know, before that other entrance opened up in the mm-hmm. on the avenue, the one when you came in on 36th
yep.
Street. And then you take that, you go up the stairs and then down to the other elevator. So riding that with him was an experience for sure. That was my first time in that building.
Yeah, which is an amazing, I remember for me, it was an amazing experience walking
yeah.
in there and waiting and like trying to peek into the newsroom. Like, this
yeah.
is the station I've been listening to years and years and years. And now I'm sitting here. Like, don't screw it up.
Yeah, but all the other vivid memories are unfortunately, of sort of negative things.
Yeah, yeah.
But the overall feel of it, just the day-to-day camaraderie and the specialness of the place outweighs those other things. But you want something that is carved into your mind, then those are the bad ones.
Sadly, yeah. And you mentioned 9/11 that week, because I was on the overnight with Joe. I was told to stay home the first mm-hmm. night. And then when we did go in, it was to not do anything, just to be there, because we were running, I think, 10-10 wins or 80. We were running something newsworthy. And then when it was time to go on, I was like, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Joe doing, like, news, like, you know,
sure.
worldly issues, like
yeah.
what was going on. And it was
which
just
is not
surreal.
Our forte.
No, it was not. But, yeah, so you worked with, in your time, and you think about the titans of radio, as I mentioned, the titans of the station, for sure. You had time with Imus, Mike and the Mad Dog, Russ and Steve, Boomer and Carton, Boomer and Geo. I mean, it's Susan Waldman. You worked with Jody Mack. You worked with everybody.
Yeah, and if you right, because I've bounced all over the place and hosts fill in. So
yeah.
I've pretty much worked with almost all of the hosts up to a certain point until I was sort of locked in on this job. And
yeah.
I'm certainly not going to be dealing with some of the younger hosts because they're not going to be filling in for Boomer or Geo.
Right.
So, but I've worked with, pretty much everybody in the history of the station.
It's pretty impressive.
It is. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It is cool.
It is cool for sure.
It is cool. It's, you talk about a small world too. So when I did, you talk about you interview, you turned down our boss mm-hmm. for an internship. And for me, I look back when I was doing overnight updates, part of my job, and you talk about everything just coming full circle. Chris was the producer for Craig Carton's show on 102.7, the sports guys. And I had to tape updates for Craig with Olivero. So every morning I was on the phone or emailing Chris updates before I could go home. And then you look at where we're at now, and it's pretty wild. It really is.
Yeah.
Pretty wild. And then you talk about everything also coming full circle. When I did the Buccaneers game back in, I guess it was November, my producer for the game was a girl by the name of Lexi Soluro, who works for NFL Radio. Her boss is Nick Pavlatos, who was my boss in 2002 when I was working there. Mm-hmm. And we're just all commingled, this business. It's pretty interesting.
And when I first started, if talk about a giant of the sports world, for sure, was Mike Breen.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean, please. I mean, right. And I cut tape for him.
Yes.
That was one of my first, I would say, for me, one of the, and maybe you had this experience as well, when you come in as an intern back in the day and you would cut up sound or highlights and it would go onto the cartwheel and they would go into the wall for the anchors, yes. And then when you would drive home that night and hear them using your clip, did that.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Right after that are things like getting to, whether it's meet or see Imus or Mike or Chris or whoever. But when I was asked to then train for that show, when I listened to that show, I remember I listened to Imus every day. So that show to me was like, wow. When I was asked to train to do tape, and then the first day I had to do it, I was like, wow, like I'm responsible for the tape. And then when Breen comes, it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty awesome as a young buck.
And when I started, like Breen wasn't Breen yet.
For you, right. For me, he was, because that's what I grew up listening to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now he is he replaced Marv as the face of the NBA.
Yeah.
Which is, and then you got Ian, who we also worked with.
Correct.
And Ian is the face of sports. I don't even know what else to call him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I worked with Ian. He came in, he was an intern in the fall, I think, or summer of 88.
Okay.
And then he was hired for a full time producing job in, I think it was the fall of 89 when I started my internship.
He had a very quick ascension.
Oh, yeah.
Just like his son, Noah's killing it.
And then at one point, right after he started doing updates first, and I remember being, this is another memory I have, positive, being in the newsroom and I pointed to TV and I said, 5 years. And it was a basketball game being done.
Right.
And it, I think
might have been less than 5 years.
Yeah, I think it was.
Might have been, because he was, man.
Super talented.
Yeah, but just so smooth.
Yeah.
And you know what's nice about him? And Kevin Burkhart's another one we work
with.
And that's why I think of him, because many people become successful, wealthy, and become a-holes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about two guys right there in Burkhart and Ian.
And Breen.
Although I don't really know Breen anymore. Mm-hmm. I haven't spoken to him since he left the radio station. I've seen Ian. I still talk to Kevin. So I have a firsthand, and I'm sure Breen's still amazing. I'm not saying he's not. But firsthand, I've interacted with these two enough. Like, nothing has changed about them.
Mm-hmm.
Ian is as successful in this business as there ever will be. Kevin's done two Super Bowls now for Fox. He's the face of Fox Sports. And these guys are still the same people they were when they worked with us.
Yeah, and Kevin, I don't know if I've told this story here or on the air or both, but when he first started, he had already been doing updates for 880.
Right.
Which he was
as Kevin Wayne.
No, he was Kevin Burkhart there. So
he was.
He had to be Kevin Wayne for us.
I thought it was the opposite.
Uh-uh. So he was Kevin Wayne for us. And I was like, why'd you pick that?
Yeah.
If you're going to change it, do something cool like Genghis Khan. So in my iPhone, under my contacts.
It's still Kevin Wayne.
No, it's Genghis.
Oh, Jesus.
If I pull up Genghis, it's Burkhart.
That's actually pretty funny.
Yeah.
Your phone goes off. Your wife is like, Eddie, Genghis is calling you?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. Well, not that he calls me, really.
Well, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I know. Lastly, so I was at Purdue the other night, and we stayed in a hotel. Fun reminiscing, by the way. We stayed in a hotel. It was called the University Club Hotel or something like that. Whatever. It was a hotel attached to, like, study halls, a common area where they had a coffee shop, a common area where there was a bar, but students everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And it was weird because usually when you're in a hotel, you go to whatever floor for the banquet rooms, and that's where our meals are, mm-hmm. and that's where the film is, and all that stuff. This was just so unique in that for about 30 hours, it's about the only time we're there, 24 hours, I guess, you felt like you were in college. Now you, I know you went to Stony Brook and you lived there.
Yes.
Were you, and I know you like to drink or can drink, were you a crazy college student with the parties and the ragers, or were you more reserved and just kind of got through it type of guy?
Oh, no, I drank.
You did?
Lot. Yeah. Not like every night or anything like that, but there were, you know, several blackout
right.
situations. Yeah.
With the parties.
Yeah. Not even like big crazy parties, just like, you know, with our circle of friends, just,
right.
you know, getting hammered. But
you weren't running from like building to building to building for the kegs and the girls and all that stuff.
No, because I like, again, the loud music and the big party, that's not my scene.
Wasn't your thing.
So, but for sure, getting blitzed. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't go away. You did go away. I commuted to both my schools, another story. So I visited a lot of friends, and I spent weekends away. And there was one trip I went to Albright to see my friend Mike. It was probably my first trip. I want to say I was a freshman. And this was my first experience, like, on a college campus as a college student on a Friday and Saturday night. And I will tell you, by Sunday morning, I was going to get the hell out of there. But Friday night, we went, and it was the first, like, real college party that I had been to, where it was, so Mike played on the baseball team, or was, I think he was playing fall ball, and was going to be on the baseball team, wound up playing 4 years there. I believe it was a baseball team party. That's where it started, and then it just exploded. Mm. And I remember when we got there, I know I had a cell phone, but there was no texting or anything like that. I don't even know if Mike had one. I'm not even sure. But all I remember Mike saying was, hey, if we get separated, you know, I'll meet you back at the dorm. Now, that sounds great in theory.
Yeah.
I don't know where I am, though. So, and I'm thinking, are we going to get separated? Well, when we got to the building for where this party was, I think it was actually a house off campus, you had to, like, give them $10, and they give you a wristband and tickets for the beers. Mm. I didn't know what I was doing. Of course, we got separated. Of course, I drank too much. Do you have any idea what it's like to not know where you are on a college campus that you don't know what you're looking at, couldn't find the dorms? So I wound up going to my car, and I've told Al the story before. I went to sleep, and it was, oh, by the way, it was like November. It was freezing. So I turned the car on. Car was in park. I had the lights off, and I reclined my seat, and I went to sleep in my car. I didn't know what else to do. Knock on the window at like 2 in the morning. Cop. College police. So I rolled down the window. Clearly, he could smell I'd been drinking. And he's like, I'm going to do you a favor tonight. He goes, how old are you? So I gave him my ID and everything. He's like, you're not even 21. He goes, get in the other seat before I arrest you. I'm like, okay. Like, what am I doing? I'm like, I'm not driving. He goes, I should arrest you for DUI because you're behind the wheel of a running car. He goes, but I see you're sleeping. He goes, get in the passenger seat and I'll let you be. Which could have been disastrous if he gave me a DUI.
That's a very good guy.
So that night was crazy. I lost Mike, whatever. Somehow we connected in the morning. I go back to the dorm. His roommates start drinking at like 11 a.m. Mm. I'm like, I can't do this. So I didn't all day, but then another party that night. And I always wonder, like, students that, and there are some that are there to party, that just do it Friday and Saturday every week. And clearly, I'm sure at Purdue, because there's nothing else to do out there, they're doing this stuff. Mm-hmm. Just got to be some experience for 4 years that when you get out, your liver needs to find itself again.
Yeah, that was not me. Mine was sort of more punctuated drunkenness, but not in every...
You were more selective.
Yes, for sure.
What was the craziest thing you did in college in 4 years?
Oh, wow.
Because for me, that... Again, I didn't go away. So to me, that was probably it, in that I really did something, even though I didn't realize I could have been arrested for. That's probably the dumbest thing I had ever done, not knowing the law.
There was one time when there was some beef with like the guys across the hall who we were friends with. They had, but they were from a more tough background, shall you say, than myself and my suite mates. But they got into a beef with somebody. I forget who or why. And then the next thing I know, and there was, we were all drunk and stuff. And then the next thing I know, we're walking somewhere like with like baseball bats to like, and then it's, and I'm like, what? Like, I just kind of get swept up in it, you know? And I was like, what the hell is it? Now, thankfully, nothing happened. I don't know.
But you were going for a brawl.
Yeah. Me.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but just because I was with this group and like, you can't back out, you know, you don't want to.
Peer pressure.
But thankfully that never happened. But just the fact that I was on the cusp of God knows what.
And against God knows who.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, knives, guns, who knows what they pull out.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you, the rebel, Eddie Scazzeri. Yeah.
Oh, no. I was just kind of wrong place, wrong time. And had to stay with my friends. And, yeah.
But did you live alone or you lived with?
No, I had a suite. We were, I had five other suite mates.
Okay.
Two in each room, three rooms, one common area, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, across the hall was another group of guys also. So, yeah.
Were you, because I will tell you, it was head turning this week specifically. And I'm on college campuses a lot with Rutgers. And you see these, you know, you see the girls that the way they dress is just crazy. Were you ever smitten by, and I know your wife was there, but still, I mean, you have eyes and you're a human.
Yeah.
Were you ever smitten by, you know, getting out of high school and having all these all these new girls walking all over the place and being in different classrooms and different parties and things like that?
Yeah, I'm sure I was. Nothing really
you remember.
Stands out to me, but oh yeah, of course.
It's a different world.
Yeah.
It is a different world.
Yeah.
They were the way, and I say it all the time, thank God I don't have girls, because I don't know how I'd let them go to college.
But like, from my experience, like, it wasn't like it is now in terms of the provocative nature.
Oh, it's different.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It
no,
was not that way in, you know, 1985.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Six.
Sure. There was a girl running on Monday, or Tuesday, sorry, and she's not doing anything to bother anybody, but she had, and it was 60 degrees there, so it was warm. She had a spandex crop top on, stomach fully exposed, back fully exposed, and the tightest and shortest spandex shorts I've ever seen. And she was a 10. I mean, she was beautiful. I'm thinking, God, I mean, I don't know. Just nuts.
Yeah, thank God you don't have
And
girls.
It's different from, yes, it's different from 1985 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. All right, well, nice walking down memory lane.
Yes, that was fun.
I did the warm-up show partially by myself, and then Mike Fliegelman joined me a little bit as well.
And you had four calls.
We had four calls, middle segment. Tomorrow, Al will be back.
Yes, he will.
And hopefully there's more stories. The funny thing about today was there was not much. I looked through all the sites. There was not much great that I think Al would have enjoyed today.
No, but a ton of real football news.
Oh, yeah. No, no. We had news, and that's fine. We actually,
but Al doesn't care about that.
He does not.
No.
Anyhow, you're going to do the see ya. The warm-up show's coming up next. Al will be back with me tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, and you've got Willie and Gio again tomorrow.
See ya!
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.